Now we're holding on Kufchof Gimel Amud Beis, the second to last line of the narrow lines. The Mishnah had started talking about the din of a bechor getting a double portion. The Gemara over the last daf or so had digressed to talking about various details in that. And now getting back then to this matter of the Bechor and his double portion. So the Gemara says, Tanan Rabbanan, ha-Bechor nerto pishnayim, a Kohen gets a double portion of the Zroya l'chayayim v'keva, the parts of the animal which the Torah says are to be given from an animal of Chulin that are to be given to the Kohen. So he got the double portion of those, as the Gemara is going to discuss soon what the case is. What the chiddush is and what the scenario is, of mukdashin, as well as the bechor also gets a double portion of kodshim, the parts of kodshim that are supposed to go to his father, over shvach sheshavchu nechasim la'acha misses avihen, as well as improvements to the value of the property that happened after the father passed away. So now that was the braisa, and now the Gemara, and after we quote the whole braisa, then the Gemara is going to analyze all the cases and figure out what are each of these cases. What is this case of the Zroi L'chayayim Bekeva? What is this case of the Mukdash? And according to who is it? What is the case involving the Mukdashin? And what kind of shvach are we talking about? So Ketzad, the Braisa continues. What does this mean? If their father left them as part of the inheritance a cow that was muhker or musker to other people, Rashbam explains muhkeres means that it's rented out, where they're going to split the profits. Basically, muskeres would mean where it's a rental. There's a fixed amount until that there's a fixed rental fee that the guy is going to have to pay. There are other mafarshim talk about other possibilities of what muhker and musker means. Back in Bava Metzia, for example, we learned that chachira usually means that you're paying, for example, with a field, chachira would be that you're paying out of the produce of the field itself, or schiros would mean that you're paying money. So similarly over here, there would be, for example, that so you would have a similar kind of thing over here. He's being paid with part of the animal's work itself versus that he's being paid money. Whatever the case, the point is that other people are using the animal and are paying for the use of it. Or if the animal was grazing out in the meadow, whereas the Gemara is going to point out, therefore, you're not having to feed it because it's finding its own food. The Yolda, and it gave birth to a baby. So now a Bechor is going to get a double portion of the baby, and also of the rental. Actually, different mafarshim talk about. Or do we mean that he gets a double? Everybody obviously gets a double portion of the baby, but does he also get a double portion of the rental? That you have different rishonim talk about. In any case, the point is, so the idea is, in other words, so all of this is shvach la'acha misses avi. These are improvements that came after the father died. The baby animal was born only after the father died. As far as the rental, again, that you have a machlokas who's showing him on the point that after all, the rental, maybe there's no chiddush in it. The rental fee, some of it anyway, was going to have to be paid even while the father was alive. So of course you should get a double portion in it, or maybe not. After all, you have Surah El of a Saif, that the rental is only paid at the end of the whole time. So whatever. Anyway, different Rishonim talk about that point. Anyway, the point is, the Braisa says, so in all those cases, so in some or all of those cases, b'chor no topishnayim. Aval, but if let's say he left them land, bonu botim v'notu kromim, if he left them land and they built houses on it or planted vineyards in it, where here it is something where they put in money to it. This is not shvach memela. This is shvach. This is improvement that came by them putting in money and effort. Ein b'chor notol pishnayim. Well, then the b'chor doesn't get a double portion from that. he'll get a double portion of the land because the land is what their father left them. But the shvach, the improvements that came after that, that not, because that would only be that that would only apply to something that existed while their, or at least existed in potential while their father was alive, and not this. As the Gemara is going to work out in detail the various cases over here. Okay. Thus far the Braisa. So the Gemara starts analyzing as far as the Zroi L'chayayim V'keva. Hai ha-Zroi V'alachayayim V'akeva hechidomi. What is the scenario involving the Zroi L'chayayim V'keva where we're saying that the Bechor gets a double portion if his father was a Kohen? If their father had already received the Zroil Chayayim Vakeva from a Yisrael or Shechted animal, Pshita, obviously a Bechor gets a double portion. It's part of the father's mammon, like anything else. So then there'd be no chiddush in mentioning it. The idolay osi the de'avuhin, and if their father hadn't received it yet, roi hu, then at this point it's only roi. It's something that could come to their father, but it's not something that it's not something that has actually come into their father's possession yet. And as we've learned before, a bechor does not get a double portion of roi like he would of muchzak. He gets a double portion of muchzak of anything that is in the father's possession when he passes away, or as we're going to work out now, based on the braisa. Things that shvacha da osim emela, but this is not da osim emela. Somebody has to give it to the father, and the fact that the father hadn't received it beforehand, at most it's roi. It's not. It's certainly not muchzak. The father doesn't have it in his possession yet. So why should the bechor be getting a double portion of it? In fact, a couple of Rishonim bring over here a Gyusa from the Rimi Gash, who takes out several words of the Gemara over here and says it's not even roi. He takes out the whole phrase over here, roi hu v'ena b'chor noto b'roi k'va muchzak, and instead has the word amai. The question is not even about roi versus muchzak. Never mind that. Not even, it shouldn't even be considered roi on the face of it, because it doesn't actually the father doesn't have it yet at all, and then the Yisrael could just as well give it to any other kohen. Roi would be, let's say, for example, that you have the father's father, let's say, has nechosim, and he's still alive. Let's say, for example, you have a father who's an only child, so therefore he's going to inherit all his father's nechosim, and his father hasn't passed away yet. His father is still alive, and therefore eventually he's going to get those nechosim, but right now he hasn't yet. That would be roi. He's going to get them for sure, just right now he hasn't yet. These are Zroi L'chayayim V'keva. He's not even for sure going to get. Depends. The Yisrael could just as well give him to another kohen. So the Rimi Gash actually takes out this whole phrase of the Gemara and says, not even roi. It's not even roi versus muchzak. It's nothing at all. So the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rashba and a number of other Rishonim say that's true. On the other hand, you could say the Gemara is going to give an answer that we're talking about. This is a Yisrael who regularly gives these royal, who regularly gives his matnas kohuna to this particular kohen. It's called makire kohuna, as the Gemara is going to say over here. The Gemara already knew of that point, that the answer is we can talk about makire kohuna, but still. That at most, fine, then since this guy regularly gives his matnas kahuna to this kohen, so we can call it roi, but nevertheless, the question is, it's still only roi, and a bechor doesn't get a double portion in it. So again, what is the case where the bechor is getting a double portion, and there's a chiddush in it that the braisa has to tell us? So the answer is hochab makire kahuna askin. And again, the answer is that we're talking about that this Yisrael is somebody who regularly gives his matnas kahuna to this particular kohen, or not even this person. Then Ashbam says we could be talking about all the people in the city, or his friends, or his relatives. So as soon as they shech their animals before they even take out the zroi l'chayayim v'keva, they already have in mind, they already plan to give it to this particular kohen because they know him and they know him and they like him. They're all his friends, or they're all his relatives and whatever. So Tosfos points out that the fact is on the face of it they could still change their mind and give it to somebody else. So one point is that first of all, as long as they haven't changed their mind, it still can be considered muchzak, as the Gemara is going to say now, it was shechted while their father was alive. So the animal was shechted while the father was alive, but the matnas kohuna haven't been separated out from it yet. Other Rishonim make a point also that we're talking about over here. It's called Matana Muetes. It's called a small gift. And when you say to somebody that I'm going to give you a small gift, then you are on the hook to actually do it. You can't say, well, I changed my mind. So therefore, there's reason to call it Muchzak, because again, they regularly give it to him. And we're talking about where it was shechted, where the animal was shechted during their father's lifetime. So it was already shechted during their father's lifetime. Before that, you can't say there's no mitzvah even of giving them that, of giving it to them yet at 8 o'clock. So the kasavar, now the Tana of our Braisa holds matonis shlehumu, even though the matonis have not been taken out yet, kamisha humu damu, they're considered as though they were taken out already. So therefore, it's considered as though they already came to the koyin, to the father, as soon as the animal was shechted. So the Rashbam points out there's a whole discussion about that in Masech Techulin, where it deals with these dinim of Zroi L'chayayim V'keva. So now the Tana of Ar Baraisa holds just that, therefore. So therefore, it's considered that the father already was muchzik in it in his lifetime. So you're going to say in that case, yeah, but then pshita. Well, that's exactly it. The chiddush is that the Tana holds that matonis shleihumu kamishuhumu damyan. If he didn't hold that way, we would say it's still considered roi, and the bechor wouldn't get a double portion. So that's the point of that part of the braisa. Okay. Next. Mukdoshin. Now, the next thing the Braisa had said is that the Bechor gets a double portion of Kodshim that would have gone to the father. For example, the Chaz of a Shoik of a Shlomim, or the various other parts of that I should be said. So that could include that Rashbam says more like Chatos and Osham, for example, things like that, Kodshim, where the meat of them goes to the Kohen. So again, the question is Lav. So now the question is Lav Dideinu. They're not the Kohens in the first place. They really belong to Hashem, and Hashem grants the Kohenim the ability to eat it, but it's still not considered the father's Nechosim such that we should say that the Bechor should get a double portion. Why is he? And the answer is the Kodshim Kalim, because we're not talking about Kodshim, for example, Chatas or Oshim. We're talking about Kodshim Kalim, for example, the Chaz of a Shoik of a Shlomim. The Alibadir of Yosaglili, or Braisa follows the opinion of Rabbi Yosaglili, the Omer Momen Bailam, where Rabbi Yosaglili holds that Kodshim Kalim are considered the property of the owner. That point comes up in various places in Shas. We had it, for example, in Bava Kamma in connection with Sutton Dinim of Nezikin. We had it in Kedushin in connection with Sutton Dinim of Kedushin, etc. It comes up here and there throughout Shas. The Tanya, and we learn it as we learn in a Braisa. When the Pasuk says, Mala Mal Bashem, when the Torah tells us about the Dinim of Me'ilah. Now, Me'ilah, rather, we're talking about when the Pasuk does use the word Umala as far as Me'ilah, but in addition, you also have the same expression is used, or a similar expression is used, when a person defrauds somebody else of money. So this is a concept which there's a concept talked about at the end of Parashas Vayikra, where one yid owes another one money for any of various reasons, and then he denies the claim and swears falsely on it. So the Torah says once he owns up to it, then he's ready to do tshuva, then he has to pay keren v'choymesh and bring a korban oshem. This is the Asham Gzelus that we mentioned in morning davening. Anyway. The point is that when it says Mala Mal Bashem, then the Pasuk says he's liable for that. L'rabas Kodshim Kalim Shehin Momin Bailim, Divir Rabbi Yisaglili. So Rabbi Yisaglili says that includes Kodshim Kalim. So in other words, if a person were to have an animal that he's designated as a Shlomim, and somebody else, let's say, stole it or whatever, and then denied it, and now he wants to do tshuva, then he would have to pay a keren v'choymesh and bring an oshem for that. You wouldn't say, says Rabbi Yisaglili, that this animal no longer belongs to the nigzol because it belongs to Hashem. Rabbi Yisaglili says that would be true if it was kodshe kodshim, because none of those are going to end up going to the animal. But since none of those are going to end up going to the owner. But here, since it's kodshim kalim, a shlomim or a todo or what have you, where much of it is going to go, most of it even maybe, is going to go back to the owner after the korban is brought, then Rabbi Yossi HaGlili considers it to be his mammon, and therefore that the gazlan would be chayev for the asham gzelus. So it's called Umala Mal Bashem in the sense that what the person stole is partially Hashem's and partially the owner's. Because after all, the Emurim of the Korban are going to go to Hashem. Anyway, the point being, again, in our Braisa over here, when the Braisa is saying that the Bechor is entitled to a double portion of Kodshim that from his father, we're talking about Kodshim Kalim. So therefore, so the father had the meat in his possession and then passed away. Now his son, his Bechor, is entitled to a double portion of that meat, according to Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. Okay. Next. The Braisa said, "Hiniach lehen avien poro mochkeras muskeras biad acherim." We said that if the father had left them a cow that was rented out or leased out or whatever the different explanations, mochkeras and muskeras, to others, oishoy se roya ba'afer, or it was grazing in the meadow over Yolda, and it gave birth, bechor notav al pishnayim. Then we said the bechor gets a double portion in it. So the question is, why does the Braisa have to mention all those cases? Hashta mochkeras muskeras. If you're telling me that even when it's rented out or leased out, the lav reshusa demora didhu kaima, and it's not actually in the reshus of the owner because it's in somebody else's reshus. For example, that person takes over the responsibility as far as if the animal causes damage, as we learned in Baba Kama, or different other things like that. So it's not in the father's reshus when he passes away. Amrit shokil, and you're telling me the bechor gets a double portion. Roya ba'afa miboya. Would you need to tell me a case where it's grazing in the meadow and it's not in anybody else's reshus? Of course he gets a double portion. Why does the Braisa mention that point? And the answer is hokamash malon. The Braisa wants to tell us as follows. By mentioning the roya ba'afa, the Braisa wants to clarify for us the previous case of mocheras and muskeras. Namely, mochkeres muskeres dumia geroya ba'afer. When we're saying that if it's rented or hired or leased out, that we're saying that the bechor gets a double portion of the baby that was born, or according to somebody showing him also of the according to the implication of Rashbam and Tosfos also from the rental itself, that the bechor is entitled to a double portion is only dumia geroya ba'afer. Only when it's a similar case as, only when it's similar in a certain way to grazing in the meadow. Ma roya ba'afa shvacha de melakasi. When the animal is grazing in the meadow, any improvement to it happens on its own. It itself finds grass to eat, and it's fattening up from that. So nobody's spending money on food for it. Af mukheres muskeres shvacha de melakasi. So the same way when we're talking about mukheres and muskeres, when we're saying that the bechor gets a double portion of it, has to be shvach the remela kaasi, only the kind of shvach that comes on its own, the lechastri b'mezoni, namely not the kind where the yisomim have to pay money for its food. So when you're renting out or leasing out or making an arrangement of where we're going to split the profits or whatever with somebody else, you can have two ways of doing it. You can have where I, the owner of the animal, am still going to be responsible for providing food for it. Or you can have where, no, you've leased the animal, you've whatever, and therefore you're going to be responsible for feeding it. You think of it in modern terms, for example, you rent somebody a car, are you providing him money for gas for it, or is he expected to fill it to come back with a full tank? So when do we say that the bechor gets a double portion of the shvach, of the improvement in the animal from the time of the mocheres and muskeres, is only when they're not having to spend money on it to feed it? But otherwise, again, it would be similar to what the Braisa had said, where they built houses on the property, where there it's not the osim imela, because then they put in money to it. Now, the Rashbam brings up the point, in that case, why didn't the Braisa just mention Roya Ba'afer, and we would understand that it means any other case where they're not spending money on it. So the Rashbam says that Otherwise, you would have thought whenever it's rented out or leased out or whatever, then the fact is, what's the shvach comes about, people are working with it and accomplishing something useful with it. So therefore, maybe the bechor is not entitled to a double portion of the rental fee from that. But the answer is that no, since the yesomim themselves are not putting in that work, other people are, then therefore, so again, if they're not paying for its food, then they then therefore the bechor is in fact entitled to a double portion of that rental fee. The rishonim who learned that that he wouldn't be entitled to a double portion of the rental fee, then they would learn differently. They would have various other ways of explaining what. What that means, in other words, that why the Brais has to mention Mukheras and Muskeras. One point is that if it didn't say Mukheras and Muskeras, you would think that even no matter what, whether the renter is feeding it or not, he's feeding it through the shlichus of the Yoshim, so it should be considered as though they're feeding it. And the Brais is saying that no, because the Socher was already chayev to pay to the father to feed the animal. That was the deal of the rental, so that was the terms of the rental. So therefore, it's considered from their point of view as though it's shvachon as shvachon de mamela, because he already agreed when the father was alive that he's going to be giving that money, that he's going to be giving that money for the food, and therefore the bechor can get a double portion of it. Okay, well, the Gemara says mani Rebbe. Well, then it comes out then that this braisa would be according to Rebbe. D'tanya, ein bechor noto pishnayim b'shvach sheshov chonochosim la'acha misas avien. A braisa says that a bechor does not get a double portion of the shvach that improved that where the property was improved after the father died, which seems to imply even if it was even if it was shvach de osam amela, even if it's shvach that happened on its own. Rebbe Omer, on the other hand, Rebbe says Omer ani, I say no. Bechor noto pishnayim b'shvach sheshov chonochosim la'acha misas avi. And I say that a bechor does get a double portion of the shvach that the of the improvements that of the improvement in value from after the father died. Avaloi b'shvach sheishbichu yisoyim la'acha misas avi. But not the shvach that the Yisomim put in. So our previous braisa on Kufchof Gimel Amud Beis at the beginning of the sugya that mentioned that drew the distinction between shvach memela and shvach that's not memela, that would follow Rebbe's opinion, who makes that distinction. According to the Chachamim, the Bechor wouldn't get a double portion of either one. Continues the braisa, Yorshu Shtar Chov. What happens if the Yisomim Yarshin the Shtar Chov? So money was owed to their father. So this is still, the Rashbam points out, this is still part of Rebbe's statement. If they have a shtar that their father was owed money, then when they collect the debt, then also bechor noto pishnayim, then the bechor gets a double portion of it. Because again, the idea is, even though the money is not in their father's possession right now, but because he has the actual shtar, and the shtar itself is used to collect the debt, so therefore it's considered as though the shtar itself, this is in effect nechosim sheshovchu memela. This is kind of the equivalent of an improvement that happened memela, because the like this, the shtar itself is just a piece of paper, but it represents a chov. And when that chov is paid, then in effect you have nechosim sheshovchu memela. You have an improvement that came in effect on its own, similar to the animal grazing in the field. And again, we just said, according to Rebbe, a bechor gets a double portion of that. On the other hand, the Rashbam points out, that's only when it was a milva b'shtar. If it was a milva al peh, even if there's edim, then the Rashbam says that's different, because then after all, the other guy could claim that I paid it off. So even Rebbe would agree that cannot be considered nechosim sheshavchu memela. In fact, Gilyan Ashas, Rabbi Akiva Eger over here, refers to a Tosfos later in the Masechta that points out that when you have something which may never be paid back, where it's possible that it might not be paid back, or there's a certain kind of debt that we're going to deal with extensively in the next parak called Shushvinus, then It's not not necessarily so that wouldn't be considered muhsak, and the bechor wouldn't get it. That wouldn't be considered a double. That wouldn't be considered the bechor wouldn't get a double portion of it. Anyway, so the same way over here that Hashmam is saying, when it was a milva al peh, and therefore the other guy can claim paraiti that I paid it back, then the bechor wouldn't be entitled to a double portion of it. But here, when we're talking about where it's a shtar chayv, we're therefore, so the shtar chayv, it's either you can collect on the basis of it, then therefore that's reason enough for us to consider it, to consider it muhsak, says Rebbe. Next, what about yotz al leyan shtar chayv? The Braisa continues, what about if the other way around, a shtar chayv against them came out, their father owed somebody money. This is not talking about, this is that Rashbam points out, this next part of the Braisa is not according to Rebbe. This is according to everybody, this next part. So when there's a shtar chayv where their father owes money, so b'chor noisin pishnayim, then the b'chor has to pay a double portion of the debt. The same way as he gets a double portion of the nechassim, the same way he's going to be on the hook to pay a double portion of the twice as much as anybody else, because all of the nechassim were all under a shibur to the malva. The im omar, but if he wants to say any noisin v'any notel, I don't want to have to give a double portion. So I'm moichel the chelik of bechora. I'll take a portion of the nechassim equal to any of my other brothers, and therefore I'm only going to pay my percentage of it and not a double percentage. So then fine, Rashoi, he's entitled to do that. Beis din cannot force him to pay more. So the Ashbam points out now there's a number of nafkaminas in that. First of all, it would mean that the malva is going to have to take all the other brothers to Beis Din as well. And if he can't get a hold of them, then he's going to end up losing out. He can't say to the bechor, well, you inherited a double portion, therefore you should have to pay twice as much as them. And if that pays off all the debt, then good, because here the bechor has said, I'm willing to forfeit my double portion. And therefore, I shouldn't have to pay the double portion of the debt. Also, the Rashbam points out another example would be if the other brothers went off to Medinas Hayam. Then we have to wait until Beis Din can hear what Taina the brothers would say. They can have various Tainas, and in fact, Beis Din sometimes is obligated to make Tainas on their behalf, particularly if they're Ktanim. They could say, for example, we paid it off, or our father paid it off already. The point being, in other words, you would think that since the Torah gives him the double portion, he doesn't have the ability to override that. As soon as his father passes away, he automatically inherits the double portion. So, we're saying that the Torah isn't given to him ba'al korchoi, because since the expression in the pasuk is los esloy, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, it's called a matana. The Torah is giving it to him as a matana, and you can't force somebody to take a matana. Now, then the Rashbam also brings an explanation that some people wanted to explain that this is a continuation of the previous case, namely where they have a shtar chayv that their father was owed money by other people. And he also owed money to other people. So he wants to say that, I don't want a double portion of either. I don't want to receive a double portion of the debt that my father was going to collect. And I don't want to have to pay a double portion of the debt that my father was going to have to pay. But the Rashbam says, no, what does one have to do with the other? One of them is metalthlin, the other one is karka. So it wouldn't make a difference. So no, the correct explanation, rather, that Rashbam says is the previous explanation, that these are two different cases. One where their father was owed money with a shtar, where there he's entitled to a double portion of it. And a second separate case is where their father owed people money and the Baal Chayv now is coming and saying, well, you, Bechor, ought to be paying me a double portion because you inherited, as soon as your father passed away, you immediately inherited a double portion. So he has the ability to say, since it's a matana, then I'm willing to forego that matana, and that way I shouldn't be on the hook for that double portion. And again, you have these various cases where they went to Medina Sayyam or various other possibilities like that, where then we can't put him on the hook to pay that double portion. Because he can forego that matana, and therefore he's not required to pay the double portion. Again, the Rashbam had mentioned the case, for example, where the you'd have to take the other brothers to Beis Din, or if they went off to Medina Sayyam. Tosfos also points out a case you can have where the other Yisomim, or all the Yisomim, are children. So the Bechor can say that I don't want Pishnaim, it'll just remain in the possession of all of us Yisomim without us splitting it up. And then the din is that you can't bechlal take from their nechosim unless it's going to harm them. For example, if it's a debt to a goy where he's going to be collecting ribis. So that would be another example where, because he says, I don't want the chelik bechora, meaning he says that I want all the property to just stay in the possession of the Yisomim and collective, then therefore that would be another case where the Baal Chayv is blocked from being able to collect from it. Tosfos also brings a case. Tosfos also brings from Rabbeinu Tam that learns further. What happens if the Shtar Chayv is only against the Bechor? Then you could have when you have a shtar chayv against all of them, then yeah, ultimately all of them are going to be chayv to pay. But if you have a shtar chayv that comes out against the bechor itself, only he owes money, then he would have the ability to say that I don't want to receive my portion of the nachla, and therefore I don't have to pay, and therefore the baal chayv is going to end up losing out. He can't collect from the other yisayim because they have nothing to do with it. So there's a good deal of discussion among Rishonim about ins and outs of these various dinim. Anyway, going back to the Gemara now. So the Gemara says, "My time, my Rabbanon." Why do the Chachamim say that now? So we said so far that the Chachamim say that it doesn't matter what kind of shvach we're talking about, whether it's osi memela, it comes on its own, or whether it's that they put in money and effort into it. Either way, the Chachamim say that the Bechor doesn't get a double portion of it, whereas Rebbe had drawn a distinction between Shvach the Memela and Shvach that's not the Memela. So, my Taimayu de Rabbanon, why do the Chachamim hold that there's no distinction and either way a Bechor doesn't get a double portion of that Shvach? So the answer is Amakra, because the Pasuk says Los Asloi Pishnayim. The Pasuk says to give him a double portion. Matona Kav Yerachmana. Thus, we see that the Torah is calling it a gift. Therefore, say the Chachamim, we can learn from that. Ma Matona Ad Matyula Yode. Just like with a Matona, he doesn't actually get anything until it actually reaches his possessions. You wouldn't say. Or something that doesn't exist yet. In other words, after all, so if I want to give you a gift of something that doesn't exist yet, I have no ability to do that. So therefore, so the Chachamim say, the same way with the portion of the Bechor, it has to be that it already exists in the father's, possession. And therefore, if it's any kind of shvach that comes afterwards, whether memela or not, then the Chum say that evidently the pasuk is implying that the bechor doesn't get a double portion of it. The Rebbe Omer, what does Rebbe answer to that? He says, Amakra pishnayim. Sure, but the pasuk also says that the bechor gets a double portion. Pishnayim means twice as much. The Gemara had worked out before that it means, in other words, that if you have four brothers, it means that we split the nechosim into five. The bechor gets two of those, two fifths, and everybody else gets one fifth. The point is that the pasuk is saying pishnayim, which means that pishnayim includes both. The word pishnayim includes the basic portion, the one fifth, let's say, that he would get as a poshut, as a non bechor, as well as the other part that he gets as a bechor. Therefore, makish chelik bechor lo chelik poshut. Therefore, in effect, the pasuk is making a hekish between the two parts. Otherwise, in other words, the pasuk could have said something like losas lechelik echad al echad. The pasuk could have said something like that you should give him one extra portion over his brothers. And therefore, then if we did that, we wouldn't have a hekesh. We would say there's something unique about that extra portion to him. But now that it says pishnayim, where the word pishnayim itself, the phrase pishnayim itself, includes both the chelik that he would get as a bechor and the chelik that he gets as a poshut, then therefore, Rebbe says, you have a hekesh over there. Ma chelik poshut afagab b'le motel yodei. Now, when it comes to the part that he gets as a poshut, obviously, it doesn't matter whether the father has it in his possession or not. Any the children are going to be yarshining from their father whatever the father owns, whether it's roy or muchzak. The whole distinction between roy and muchzak only applies as far as bechorah. So therefore, Rebbe is going to say, just like with the chelik poshut, they also get a portion of the roy and not of the roy. Af chelik bechorah, af gabdalei motli yodei. The same way the chelik bechorah. Now Rebbe is going to agree that it can't be complete roy because after all, the pasuk does also say when it comes to the bechor, it says bechol asher yimotzei loy, that the bechor gets a double portion in everything that is found in the father's possession. So from that we learn, at least it has to be muchzak. But in other words, Rebbe is saying, within the shvach itself, as long as the actual item itself exists, and the shvach that's coming is memela, then that's good enough to consider it. That in other words, Rebbe is saying, on the one hand, you have b'chol asher yimotzei, which is a miut, that the b'chor does not get a double portion of certain kinds of things that don't exist yet. On the other hand, you have the hekesh of pishnayim that tells us that he does. So therefore, Rebbe, that's where Rebbe draws the line. You would say that when it's complete roy, when you say it really is not in the father's possession at all, and it's something which it comes about only because of the effort of the yorshim, then we would say that's considered roy, and he doesn't get a double portion of it. But when you have it doesn't exist yet, but it comes about memela, then Rebbe says that's going to be included by virtue of the hekesh of pishnayim, and therefore he is going to get a double portion of that. Well, the question is, what are the chachamim doing with the words pishnayim? Then what are they doing with that hekesh? They answer, how hula meis v'la achad metzra. They learn from that that when the Bechor gets his double portion, they're both along the same boundary. That, in other words, we don't say that you're entitled to a double portion, sure, but we're going to make a girdle, and if your two parts happen to be next to each other, then good, and if not, then not. No, a Bechor definitely gets his two portions, one next to the other. The Gemara had pointed that out all the way back in the first parak, that it was an obvious thing that was the case. Based on this limud from the word pishnayim. The Gemara had discussed over there. What about a yavam? And Abaya had thought it's the same thing. And Rava says that not a yavam doesn't get his two portions necessarily. He yarshins his dead brother's property when he does yibum, but he doesn't necessarily get. We don't necessarily say that his two parts are going to be one next to the other if they happen to be good. If not, then not. Anyway, the Chachamim learned that from this hekesh of pishnayim. The Rebbe Nami Aksiv Losses Loy. All right. So Rebbe, what is he doing with the word Losses Loy, which implies that it's a gift? And again, with a gift, you can't be Makna Dava Shaloy Bala Olam. So how is it possible with Bechora that he should get the Shvach that comes afterwards? So where again, the Chachamim are saying you don't because it's called a Matana. What is Rebbe doing with that point? The answer is Ahu, Shim Oma, any noto, any noisim, Rashoi. Rebbe learns from that the din that we said further in the Braisa before, that we said that if the Bechor says that I don't want to take the double portion, I don't want to have to give a double portion of the choiv that our father owed, Rashoi, then he's able to do that, and the other Ed, he's able to do that, and then the Baal choiv is not able to collect from that. So the Rashbam points out the Chachamim aren't bothered by that. They can say that you can learn both things from it. From the word losses, we see it's called a matana, and since it's losses loy, so it's not considered his until it actually comes into his possession. So therefore, he has the ability to decline it in the first place. Okay, so those are the various limudim. So ultimately, that's why Rebbe and the Chachamim are arguing on this point of shvacha de osam emela, whether the Bechor will get a double portion of it. It's based on those limudim from the psukim. Rabbeinu Yonah points out over here that, yes, you can be makna something as far as the shvach that's going to come later. For example, you can be makna somebody a tree insofar as the peiros. He doesn't own the tree itself, but he's going to own the future peiros in it. But after all, at least he has to give the guy a something in the goof itself. And here, you're talking about a shvach that doesn't exist yet. So therefore, so again, as the Gemara is saying, it wouldn't fall under the category of matana. Then he brings that there are yesh meforshim who want to say that what it means is a matona is only chal, where that actually only takes effect when it comes to the makabel, so that when it comes to the recipient, so the same way the bechor only gets the double portion after they divided it up. So what do you mean that he should be able to say that this shvach belongs to me because it's my property that improved? What do you mean? Beforehand it wasn't his yet; it belonged in common to it belonged in common to all the brothers. So that's the machlokas between the chachamim and Rebbe. So the Gemara points out, when we talk about shvach of the asim mamela, we have to distinguish actually between different kinds of shvach. Amar papa, dikla v'alim, if you have, for example, if their father left them a tree, and over time, the tree's trunk became thicker. Or arav asik shirton, or he left them a piece of land, and later on it got improved that more topsoil was deposited on it. There was a flood, for example, and now you have more good soil that was deposited or manure, fertilizer, or whatever that was dumped on top of it. So then dekula amale pligi de shakel, everybody, even the chachamim, would agree that the Bechor gets a double portion in that improvement itself, because that's not something new. It's part of the mammon that belonged to the father. Because after all, it still is a tree. It still is karka. Ki pligi, when they're arguing about, for example, b'chafura b'habu shuvli, what if, for example, their father left them grain which was growing, where at this point, when he passed away, it was still only in the stage called shachas, where you have the stalks have grown and it's already noticeable as plants, as grass, but you don't have the actual grain has not grown and developed in it yet. Bahavu shuvli, and later on they became shibolim, they became actual stalks of grain. Or shlofafi, or for example, he left them a palm tree where when he passed away, it was just starting to blossom. The blossoms were just starting to grow. Bahavu tamri, and then later on, after he passed away, before they divided up the nechosim, they developed into dates. So now there would be the machlokas, says Rav Papa. Demar sava shvach demela. The Rebbe considers that shvach that comes on its own, because these are things that grow on their own, and then therefore it's still b'chol asher yimotzeloi. It's still something that belonged to the father. But Umar Sova, whereas the Chacham hold Ishtini, the fact is that their name is different. Now they have a different name. Before it was called Shachas. Now it's called Shibolim. Before it was called Shlufofi. Now it's called Dates. So they hold that can't be considered Shvacha de Ramela anymore. It would actually be considered something. It would be considered something new. And therefore, according to them, the Bechor wouldn't be entitled to a double portion of it. There's discussion on this. Is Rav Papa arguing with the previous point, or is he just where the Gemara had just shown that why Rebbe and the Chachamim disagree on this point of shvacha da asim meila or not? So Rabbeinu Yonah brings actually that some mafoshim want to learn that Rav Papa is disagreeing and with the limud that we said before, and saying that no, the limud is not whether we darshin from losis loy versus pishnayim, or rather he wants to say that rather the machlokas is based on what is considered yimotzi loy, what's considered in the father's possession when he passed away, where the chum are going to say once it has a new name, then you can't say that something of this name was in their father, was in the father's possession. But then you have other mafarshim who learn that there's no machlokas, and we're saying that then the ktsois in fact explains that even, for example, here you have a tree that became fatter, that became thicker. It is, even if it's davar shaloi bala olam, but it's still part of kol asher yimatzei loy, and therefore it belonged in under that name to the father, and therefore the bechor is going to get a double portion of it. Okay. Now that we've analyzed the machlokas of Rebbe and the Chachamim, now the question is, who is the halacha like? Omer Rabba Baba Chana Omer Rabba Bar Chana Omer Abchia, Osa Kedivri Rebbe Osa. If a Dayan paskins like Rebbe and says that a Bechor does get a double portion of certain kinds of Shvach, Osa, then it's a done deal. We don't say that it's... Now, we have a concept called Tor B'Dvar Mishnah, which we're going to learn about it eventually, when we get to Masechta Bechoros, Vez Hashem, that you have a case, we're going to talk about it in Sanhedrin, the next Masechta as well, where if a Dayan makes a mistake and something that it openly says in the Mishnah otherwise, then we say Choizer, that we undo the whole Psak Din and we start all over again. But here, Rabba Bachana wants us to know that no, paskening like Rebbe is not considered a blatant mistake like that, even though usually we say that the halacha is like the Chachamim. Nevertheless, it's valid to pasken here like Rebbe. Kedivre Chachamim also, and if he wants to pasken like Rebbe, like the Chachamim, then it's also valid. Either way, it's not a mistake. Meaning, misapkalei, evidently Reb Chiya has, so therefore what it means is Reb Chiya has a suffix, I halacha ke Rebbe mechavei rei v'loi mechavei rov. When we say the rule that the halacha is like Rebbe against a chaver of his, is that specifically when it's one individual chaver, one individual tana, v'loi mechavei rov, but not when it's the rabbim against him, oi halacha ke Rebbe mechavei rei v'afilo mechavei rov. Or maybe that rule would mean that the halacha is like Rebbe always, even when it's against his chaverim in plural. The Rashbam points out that this machlokas wouldn't affect only our case over here. It would affect all in all of Shas. Whenever you have a machlokas Rebbe and the Chachamim, so Reb Chiya has a suffix whether in fact the halacha is like Rebbe or not. On the other hand, Tosfos says that not. Rebbe Natam says that no. Here, you have a particular reason why Reb Chiya has a suffix, but generally not. Generally, it's obvious that the halacha is like Rebbe only mechavei roy and not mechavei rov. Tosfos also points out the Tosfos brings from the Ri, the question may be, is the halacha like it, here you have where Chavei Rav explicitly say not like him, as opposed to other cases where maybe we have to deduce what they say differently. Anyway, the point is, so that's Reb Chiya's suffix. On the other hand, continues the Gemara, Omer of Nachman, Omer Rav, also lasses kedivrei Rebbe. It's also to do like Rebbe, meaning, in other words, even b'diyeved it's also to paskin like that. And if he did that, then it would be considered. Then it would be considered a mistake. He's actually over. The Rashbam says he'd be over on the issue of loy sata mishpat. You're not allowed to pervert justice, because to follow Rebbe in this would be to paskin against the halacha, says Reb Nachman. Why does he say also lasis rather than saying ein halacha ke Rebbe? Is because since Reb Chiya had used the expression, if you do like Rebbe, then it's fine. So therefore, Reb Nachman answers back with no, also, it's also to do like Rebbe at all. Meaning, Kosovar, because Reb Nachman and Rav hold halacha ke Rebbe mechavei rei v'loi mechavei rov. The rule is always that the halacha is like Rebbe only when he's arguing against one Tana, not when he's arguing against the Chachamim in general. So Rav would say that it's also to paskin differently. Now that's Reb Nachman quoting Rav. But Reb Nachman didei Omar, on the other hand, Reb Nachman himself holds differently. Omar, he says, Mutter lasis kedivrei Rebbe, you are allowed to follow Rebbe. It's not also like Rav had said. It wouldn't be loisata mishpat, it would be you're entitled to follow that if you want to. Tosfos learns, in other words, that we're not saying, according to Reb Nachman, that for sure the halacha is like Rebbe. We're saying, similar to Reb Chiya, that it's still up in the air, and therefore you could pass like Rebbe if you want. Kosovar halacha k'Rebbe mechaveiro afilo mechaveiro. because Reb Nachman holds that the halacha is like Rebbe, even mechavei Rav, even against his colleagues. So according to the Rashbam, the implication would be that Reb Nachman holds that always. According to Tosfos, no, it means in this particular case, Reb Nachman is saying that the halacha can be like Rebbe, but it could also be like the Chachamim, and therefore you can take your pick. Omar Rava, Rava says, another way of looking at it, also lasas kedivei Rebbe, like Rav says, It is in fact also to do like Rebbe. The im also, but the dieved, if the dayan paskin like Rebbe also, then it's a done deal, and we're not going to undo the psak din. Kasava matin itmar, because Rava holds that when it's said in the Beis Medrash that when we say in the Beis Medrash halacha k'Rebbe mechavei Rav v'lo mechavei Rav, doesn't mean an absolute thing that it's not like Rebbe. It just means matin, means we incline to that view. We should paskin like machachamim v'hatchila, but b'dieved you paskin like Rebbe. Then we're not going to undo that. Now the Rashbam actually has a girsa that Rava says hilchasa k'Rebbe, that the halacha is like Rebbe. But nevertheless, if he did differently, then we wouldn't undo it. Either way, it kind of amounts to the same thing. In other words, Rava is saying yes, the halacha should be like Rebbe. However, it doesn't mean that absolutely the halacha is like him. It means that b'dieved, if he passed in the other way, then you wouldn't undo it. Now the Rashbam goes on to say that the halacha would not in fact be like Rava in that. Later on in the sugya, we're going to learn tomorrow, Beis Hashem, that Rav Papa says the halacha is not like Rebbe, period, and therefore, so that would be the final halacha, and therefore there's no matin or anything like that over here. The fact is, you would have to say, you have to paskin like the chachamim, and if you paskin like Rebbe, then it would be wrong, and you have to undo it. Okay. The Gemara continues, Tani Rav Nachman, Tony Rav Nachman b'shar sifri debei Rav. Rav Nachman taught a braisa that comes from the other sforim of the yeshiva of Rav. Now you have like this, the Rashbam explains. You have Sifra, which is a medrash halacha on Sefer Vayikra. It goes through much of Sefer Vayikra, posik by posik, and darshins the psukim and learns dinim from it. A lot of times when the Gemara will say tonon abonon and quote a posik and darshin it, a lot of times that comes from Sifra, which is the medrash on Sefer Vayikra. Now, then you have the other chumashim also have mitzvahs in them, but not quite as many. So therefore the midrashim on the other sfarim are called Sha'ar Sifri Debei Rav. They're called the other sfarim of the yeshiva of Rav. So it would include, the Rashbam points out, it would include the Midrashe Halacha on Shmois, which usually is called Mechilta, as most of Shmois, beginning from Achodesh HaZalachem, beginning from the first mitzvah, in Parashas Bo'i, and continuing through the rest of Sefer Shmos, and then also Bamidbar, and then also most of Bamidbar, much of Bamidbar, and much of Devarim, which also include mitzvahs. So then you have Midrashe Halacha and all of those. So those are all called under the general title Sha'ar Sifri Debei Rav, the other Sforim of the Yeshiva of Rav. In fact, we have usually nowadays, we want the one on Shmos is usually called Mechilta, the ones on Bamidbar and Devarim are called Sifri. Anyway, so Rav Nachman taught a braisa from that collection of midrashim on the posik in Parshas Kisavai, which talks about the bechor, when it says bechol asher yimotze loy, when it says that the bechor gets a double portion in everything that is found of the fathers. So that would be, like, as we were talking about before, prat the shvach sheishpichu yoshen la'acha misses avi, and that would exclude an improvement to the value of the property that the yoshim added after their father passed away. Like we said before, for example, if they built houses or planted vineyards or what have you. So actually the Rashbam explains that no, what we mean is l'shvach sheishpichu memela. It would include even. So there are actually two different gersois in the Rashbam. Is he referring to even Shvach Shashavcho Memela, which in that case would be even according to the Chachamim, or do we mean Shvach that they put in, for example, that they built houses or whatever, or as we said before, they paid money for the animals' food. So this braisa is saying that that if they put in that shvach la'acham misses avin, aval shvach sheshovchu nechasim la'acham misses avin, but where the property improved on its own after the father passed away, then shokil, then the bechor gets a double portion. Umani Rebbe. Therefore, that braisa from Sifri, from Shavu Sifri de Beirav, is clearly according to Rebbe who draws that distinction. Similarly, Tony Romi Bachoma, Bashar Sifri de Beirav. Similarly, Romi Bachoma also taught a braisa from this collection of the Midrash Halacha on the other Sfarim that came from the Yeshiva of Rav. And when the pasuk says B'chol Asher Yimotzei Loi, when it says everything that's found in the father's possession, that comes to exclude improvement that the nechasim improved after the father died, where the b'chor doesn't get a double portion. All the more so that would apply to shvach that the yoshim improved by putting in effort after the father died, deloy shokel, where the b'chor wouldn't get a double portion. Omani rabbanan, namely Rami Bachamas, Braisa is according to the Chachamim. So you have two different braises analyzing the same pasuk and coming to opposite conclusions because one of them is according to Rebbe and one of them is according to the Chachamim. And again, as we discussed before, who is the halacha like? And the Gemara is going to take up that point again later on Daf Kuf Chaf Hei. So the Gemara continues. Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Ein b'chor notel pishnayim b'milva. A b'chor does not get a double portion of a loan. And that would mean even a milva b'shtar. Now, on Amud Aleph, we said that when there's a milva b'shtar, then he would get a double portion of it, because we said that a shtar is considered as though the fact that the debt is paid off is considered a shvacha de'osim emela. It's considered a shvach that comes on its own, because the shtar is able to be collected, and therefore we considered that's the kind of shvach that a b'chor would get a double portion in. But Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel that a b'chor would not get a double portion. Well, the question is, Laman, according to whom is Shmuel talking about? Ilema l'Rabbanan, is he telling us that according to the Chachamim? Well, of course. Hashta shvach de'isibir shosei, madach a shvach that's already in the father's, where the father already has possession of the actual object, and just the shvach comes to it after he passes away. Ami Rabbanan lo shokel, and yet the Chachamim say that the b'chor doesn't get the double portion. For example, when we said before, grain that continues to grow and develop into stalks, where stalks of grain that continue to grow and develop into and become actual grain after the father passed away. So the father had the growing plants in his possession beforehand, and yet the Chum say he doesn't get a double portion. And the Milva Miboya, would you need to tell us in the case of a loan where right now all the father only has is a piece of paper? So if Shmuel is telling us according to if Shmuel is talking about according to the Chachamim, then what's the chiddush in it? Of course, he wouldn't get a double portion of it. Ella le Rebbe. So rather, we're saying that Shmuel's din is according to Rebbe. But what about the braisa that we learned on Amar Aleph? Ella hadatanya Yoshu Shtarchoiv, or actually a different braisa, but similarly, Yoshu Shtarchoiv, where a different braisa says that if they yarshin a shtarchoiv, b'chor notel pishnayim bein b'milva bein b'ribis, then the braisa says that a b'chor would be entitled to a double portion, whether of the loan itself or whether the ribis. So obviously, if it was with a yid, then you're not talking about ribis. So you're talking about where goy borrowed money from them. There was actually an explanation from the Rimi Gash that says we could even be talking about a yid, and it wasn't ribis tzutza, it wasn't the kind of fixed ribis, which is also daraisa, but rather the kind of ribis, which is also derabbanan, called avak ribis, as we learned about extensively in Bav Metzia in the fifth perek. So then you have a din over there, as we learned in Bav Metzia, that avak ribis ena yotz v'dayonim, that if he pays it, the dayonim do not force the malva to give it back. So now you could be talking about a b'chor getting a double portion of that. Anyway, so now the question is, this last braisa, lo Rebbe v'lo Rabbanan, it seems to be not like Rebbe and not the Chachamim, because either, so, it doesn't work. We brought a braisa on Amud Aleph that said that a bechor is going to get a double portion of a choiv. But now we have another braisa that says that a bechor gets a double portion not only of the milva but even of the ribis. But if you're telling me that according to Shmuel, that if you can tell me according to Shmuel that the Bechor only gets a double portion only of the Nechosim themselves that were in the father's possession, but not of anything that wasn't actually in his possession, then the Milva, so then according to Shmuel's understanding, who would this Braisa go like? It wouldn't be according to Rebbe, and it wouldn't be according to the Chachamim. Now, what about you could answer that that Shmuel is talking about a milva al peh, as we learned before, that Ashbam pointed out that a milva al peh, Bechor is not going to get a double portion. But no, because Rishonim point out that the Ritva and the Rosh point out that Shmuel just says generically that a Bechor doesn't get a double portion of a Milva. So that means whatever kind of Milva we're talking about, whether a Milva B'shtar or whether a Milva Alpeh. And Marshall also adds the point that in fact Shmuel should have said so explicitly. He should have said that Rebbe agrees when it comes to Milva Alpeh. So that's the question. According to Shmuel, who would this last braisa go like? The answer is la'olam l'rabbanan. In fact, Shmuel is talking about according to the Chachamim's opinion. But nevertheless, Shmuel has to tell us that he doesn't get that. Shmuel has to tell us that he doesn't get a double portion of a choiv sakudat dechamina milva, given the nokit shtara. Because you would think with a milva, since he's holding on to a shtar, commanded gavya damya, it should be considered as though it's already collected because he has the shtar already in his possession. Kamash malan. Therefore, we're being told that he's not entitled according to the Chachamim. Now, so therefore, the Braisa that we had on Amud Aleph that said that he's entitled to a double portion of the Choiv with a Shtar, that would be according to Rebbe. The last Braisa that we quoted that says that he gets a double portion of the loan itself and of the Milva would also be according to Rebbe. But now, on the other hand, Shmuel's din that he doesn't get a double portion would be according to the Chachamim. And even though there already exists a shtar, and you would think, like we said on Amud Aleph, it should be considered as though it's already collected. Nevertheless, Shmuel tells us that no, the Chachamim would hold that it's not that he doesn't get a double portion from it. So the Gemara will continue. We'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, analyzing these dinim about a bechor getting a double portion of a milva and of the ribis and all of that, and continue dealing with the details of this. One interesting thing to point out in this connection, the Meshech Chochmah has an interesting point on it about the whole concept. Why Bechlal does a Bechor get a double portion in the first place? So there's an explanation, because a Bechor is the one who made a Bechor when he's born. He's the one who makes his father be a father in the first place. Without him, a person is a married man, but he's not yet a father. The fact that the son is born makes him a father. So the same way, says the Meshech Chochma, when Hashem says about us Jewish people, Bnei Bechor Yisrael, then it means, therefore, why are we special to the Eibishter? Because we're the ones who made him the Eibishter in the world. Before us, before Avraham Avinu, before the Jewish people collectively, nobody knew about the Eibishter. So that's why we are distinguished as Bnei Bechor Yisrael, because we bear the same relation to Hashem being known in the world as a son, as a Bechor does to his father, actually becoming a father in the first place.